This is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca.
How could the clerical church have kept silent covering these atrocities?
An African nun scolding Roman Catholic bishops on Saturday for many mistakes in handling the sexual abuse crisis. Sister Veronica Opinibo, a Nigerian nun who has worked in Africa, Europe, and the U.S., spoke with a soft voice but had a strong message for the church hierarchy sitting before her.
The silence, the carrying of the secrets in the hearts of the perpetrators, the length of the abuses we heard one last night, and the constant transfers of perpetrators are unimaginable. I think all of us must acknowledge that our mediocrity, hypocrisy, and complacency have brought us to this disgraceful and scandalous place.
Sister Opinibo delivered her talk at the start of the penultimate day of the Vatican Summit Conference of some 200 senior church officials convened by Pope Francis to confront what he has called the scourge of sexual abuse by the clergy. Venezuelan National Guard troops fired tear gas early Saturday on residents who were clearing up a blocked-off bridge connecting Venezuela and Colombia to allow humanitarian aid to enter Venezuela. Venezuela's opposition has promised to forcibly bring the aid into the country Saturday from Colombia using trucks and throngs of people who camped out overnight to help with the deliveries. But Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has objected to opposition leader Juan Guaido's plans, declaring Venezuela is not a nation of beggars and maintaining the aid is the first stage of a U.S. invasion. Transporting aid into Venezuela would be a symbolic achievement for the opposition and also would signal Maduro is losing control. This is VOA News. President Donald Trump and Chinese Vice Premier Liu He expressed optimism that the two countries will reach a trade agreement and defuse a dispute between the world's two largest economies as both sides agreed to continue their negotiations for a longer period of time. A report saying that China will buy up to $1.2 trillion U.S. dollars in goods from the U.S. as part of the current negotiations. Arthur Dong, a professor with the McDonough School of Business at Georgetown University, said it will benefit the U.S. economy.
That's a big number, and I think it's certainly music to the ears of the Farm Belt in the United States, which is suffering right now, and certainly for the energy sector in the United States. Both sectors are certainly going to benefit in a very meaningful way, as well as many manufacturers in the United States, as China shifts its focus and purposely, focuses on purchasing more U.S. goods.
Chinese Vice Premier has been granted authority to negotiate directly with the U.S. by Chinese President Xi Jinping. President Trump explained how a revamped plan to pull U.S. troops out of Syria would work now that he's agreed to leave some troops there.
We can leave a small force along with others in the force, whether it's NATO troops or whoever it might be, so that it doesn't start up again. And I'm okay. It's a very small, tiny fraction of the people we have.
In December, President Trump, anticipating the defeat of ISIS in Syria, made a surprise announcement that all U.S. forces, roughly 2,000, would be out of Syria by the end of April. An independent advisory body convened by the World Health Organization recommends pregnant women and breastfeeding women in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo be vaccinated against the deadly Ebola virus. Latest WHO figures put the number of Ebola cases at 853, including 521 deaths. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA.
More than 80,000 people have been vaccinated against Ebola in DR Congo's conflict-ridden North Kivu and Ituri provinces during the current outbreak. World Health Organization spokesman Tarek Jazarevich says the experts advise pregnant women at high risk of infection and death from Ebola should be given the vaccination.
We also know that if we use this ring vaccination, that women who are in the community that is vaccinated then have a low risk.
The group of experts advises the vaccine to be given to pregnant women in their second or third trimester, as well as to breastfeeding women and babies under 1 year old. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
WHO says all vaccinated pregnant women will be closely monitored until the birth of their babies. I'm Joe Palca, VOA News.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Douglas Mpuga. Peter Clote is our on assignment.
The election process is supposed to start by 8. Unfortunately, I don't know what happened. So there's delays somewhere from my neck official. So they are getting by 9:05. So we are here and they are arranging their material to set up so that voting can commence.
Millions of Nigerians voted Saturday in the delayed elections. More extended coverage of the elections of Nigeria and coming up right here on Nightline Africa. Amid scattered gunfire and a strong security presence, Nigerians went to the polls a week late today to decide what was expected to be a tight race for the presidency. Vote counting began immediately after polling stations closed, although some stayed open hours late so people who were in line could cast their ballots. Other stations opened late due to a variety of issues. Results were expected to be available for at least a day. The economy, security and corruption topped voters' priorities. Turnout was reported to be spotty. It was generally heavy in Lagos, where one polling station reported that all but one registered voter had showed up. But elsewhere, security concerns kept people away, and some people declined to make the journey back to the precincts where they were registered, usually their hometowns, even though yesterday was declared a national holiday and President Muhammadu Buhari urged people to vote to show loyalty to the country. What the military called a fatal attack was mounted on a security outpost in Geidam in Yobe State, and voters were spooked by explosions in Maiduguri, the capital of Borno State. Police said they set off the blasts in a show of force. Despite a massive field of 70 candidates, Buhari's main challenger is former Vice President Atiku Abubakar. The balloting was postponed shortly before polls were to open last Saturday because election officials said they weren't ready. My colleague Peter Clote is in Lagos. Peter, polls have closed, I guess, by now.
Well, the latest development is that major parts of the country polls have officially closed. Specifically here in Lagos, the polling stations that I visited, it was peaceful and it was smooth. They were counting the ballot a few minutes ago, the presidential, the senatorial, and the House of Reps. They were all counted before I left there to talk to you. So it's been peaceful here, although there were reports of a few skirmishes in parts of Boston across the country as well.
There were some reports of some delayed starting at the polls. Was it the same thing in Lagos?
In Lagos, yes, the specific polling stations that I visited this morning, some were delayed between an hour and an hour and a half. However, people came out to vote, and the polling officials had 2 hours to spare. In one polling station, there was only one person who did not show up to vote. Every single one of them came out to vote. And the rain might have dampened turnout, nobody knows. But then I saw some European Union poll observers. The Deputy Commissioner of the British High Commission was there leading a team of European poll observers to the station. They saw the counting of the ballot papers before they decided to move on. But as I was saying, here it was smooth. The counting took place expeditiously. However, the rain might have dampened turnout in other parts of the state and the city here in Lagos, because reports I'm hearing is that turnout in some places was between 15% to 30%, not the full complement of the people registered to vote. So that might have been a result of such poor turnout in other parts of the country as well. But where I am now in Ikeja, Lagos, it was a full complement of people who came out to vote. And as I said initially, the election officials had 2 hours to spare in order to count the ballot papers in the full glare of polling agents from different political parties as well.
So given that we are getting reports that many people turned out to vote, so maybe the postponement may not have had a very big effect on this election.
Well, you might have a point. However, we are yet to officially receive data from the Independent National Electoral Commission, or INEC, to determine whether the postponement might have had any negative impact on the turnout. Before this election, I met people who were traveling back to where they came back from a week ago just to go and vote. There were instances of a few people who couldn't vote because their PVC, or the card that allows them to vote, were not captured by the card reader, and that prevented them from voting. So, but there were only minor circumstances like that. So let's wait and hear from the Independent National Electoral Commission about its data concerning the postponement, whether it adversely affected turnout or not.
That was my colleague Peter Clote in Lagos. Earlier, I spoke to VOA reporter Mike Mbonye to find out the situation in Port Harcourt. Mike, what's the mood over there? What's going on?
Well, yes, I was at two polling units early today in the outskirts of Port Harcourt, and the area is called Obiakpo, but it's just in the outskirts of Port Harcourt. In one of the units, the materials arrived 30 minutes late. The other one, it arrived about 1 hour late. So eventually, voting accreditation and voting commenced simultaneously. People cast their ballots. It was orderly. The card reader machine worked effectively, and there was tight security. Agents of some political parties were present. Voters cast their ballots. Those who cast their ballots went home, and then, you know, the exercise continued.
I see. The few people you talked to seem to be voting on issues of stability, peace, poverty eradication. How would you describe the mood of the voters there?
They were very enthusiastic. It was mixed. Some said they were voting for a change in the administration. Others said they were voting for continuity, that they needed more security, that they loved the fight against corruption, terrorism. You know, it was a mixed feeling, and everybody was enthusiastic. And those who cast their ballots told me that these are the reasons why they voted, the person they voted for.
And how would you describe the turnout? Were they in big numbers?
Yes, quite impressive in the area I went to. Very, very impressive. And, you know, I think for each polling unit, 500 persons are registered. So I could estimate that I saw about 400, 450 in each of the polling units I went to. It was quite impressive. The turnout was very, very impressive.
That was VOA reporter Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt. In Kano, in northern Nigeria, I reached Muhammad Ibrahim Kwari to find out the situation there.
Yeah, the voting has commenced as scheduled, but in some areas there were delays here and there in terms of delivering the election materials, as well as the INEC official, that is the electoral officer of Nigeria. But all things being equal, peaceful in most of the area.
What time did the voting start?
Yes, you know, the electoral body said that the elections should commence at 8 a.m. and in most areas it commenced full. And especially the rural areas, where there are more challenges is in the metropolitan area, where there are a lot of concentration of people to vote. And the question they ask is that why is it so that, you know, the election didn't commence in the metropolitan area in comparison with that of the rural areas? Because the materials did not come as early as possible.
And what is the turnout like? Are there many people lining up to vote?
Yes, you know, the Electoral Act stipulated that once there is people in queue, then even if the electoral officials is allowed to exceed the stipulated time, I mean the expected time to stop the, you know, the voting. So this means that where in the areas where the election did not commence as stipulated, I mean as scheduled, then there is tendency to exceed the time for the clergyman.
How would you describe the situation? Is it orderly and peaceful as things stand now?
Yes, in most areas, the elections are peaceful, especially in the rural areas. The electoral body accepts some changes in the voting system. Once you come, the electoral officials will screen you, will ensure that your details and information are correct. Then you'll be allowed to vote and go.
Mohamed Ibrahim Kwari in Kano, northern Nigeria. You know, in most places, polls have closed. Our viewer's Grace Abdu is in the capital, Abuja. I spoke to her moments ago just after the polls had just closed. So, Grace, I imagine the polls have now closed.
Yes, the voting has officially closed as per INEC guidelines. But INEC has given the go-ahead and that if you are on the line by 2 p.m., you will be allowed to vote, regardless of what time it will take for that voting center to close. For example, there were some polling units that we went to and we saw that up until 11 a.m. when we left that center, they were yet to get started. INEC officials were not even there at that time. So which means it's very likely in centers like that, it will take them longer to close than centers that started early. And there are centers where you have fewer people. Like that center that we went to, we saw over 1,000 people in one central area. So it's very likely that it will take them a long time to close. So I wouldn't be surprised that if you go to centers like that, they will still be voting. But for the most part, most centers have already closed.
How does this affect the whole situation security-wise? I mean, if people are voting at night, will the contending parties be satisfied with what comes out?
Well, from what we saw, I don't foresee any security problem because there are security officials everywhere in every polling station and very close. First of all, you have the police and then you have the military that are not like directly close where the voters are, but they are around the corner. So I don't see any security. There won't be any security problems in areas like that.
So do we know at what time or when poll results may begin to come out officially?
Well, I don't think even INEC can tell you that for this reason. You know, even though right now they are using this electronic voting system, but collection and collation is still done manually, which means they will have to count by hand from the unit to local government, go to state level before they come to national. So it will take quite some time. But at polling stations, you can get the results almost immediately because, like I said, some results are already out. But since INEC has not announced it officially, so it's unofficial, so we are still waiting for INEC to announce at various levels.
The INEC seems to have pulled it off in a smooth election this time.
Yes, I think for the Nigerians are happy with what happened today. And somebody was even saying that the postponement might have been a blessing in disguise because unlike what people thought, that people will not be able to go back or some people will be angry and refuse to go to vote, the reverse is what we saw today. People turned out and they really handled it well. Yes, they did.
Zainab Suleiman Umar is one of the few female candidates in Nigeria's 2019 election running for the State House of Assembly in Kumso constituency, Kano State. At only 26 years old, Umar says women in Nigeria face challenges participating in the country's politics, where men hold more than 90% of parliamentary seats, and most people feel women shouldn't run for office. She spoke to VOA Salem Solomon about her campaign and her hopes for Nigeria's future.
How has your experience been as one of the few female candidates in this election season? What are the reactions you're getting from people?
Well, people are reacting in the sense that they believe in what I'm doing.
How has your age factored into how your campaign has played out so far?
For me, as a female and also as a young person, I enter houses and do door-to-door campaign. I tell them, because I'm a woman and I can enter into any places at any time. So I do it. It's a privilege to me as a young person and also as a female to do my campaign door-to-door, go house-to-house and do my campaign.
What needs to happen in Nigerian politics to create space for women?
Well, one of the things I believe should be done is that, you know, mostly in politics in general, and in Nigerian politics, most of these things happen due to godfatherism, and I'll say mostly is godfatherism, and especially also looking at the political parties. You know, I'm running under a new party in Nigeria and also in my constituency. I spend my party myself. I talk to people. I look for people. I campaign for my party and also campaign for myself. So one of the things I believe should be done is that most of these political parties should give women some percentage, that each and every woman that has the force, which is the character, the competence, the capacity, and courage to run for office, should be given automatic ticket.
If you're hopeful that the future will be better for women, what gives you hope?
Well, I would say one of the things that give me hope is how women, when you look at even the family, most of this, even our family, you find out that women take care of everything in the family. So one of the things I have hope is that these women are those people helping, from the family. So it gives me hope that yes, women can do much, much better. They can do much, much better than the men. So I have hope for Nigeria that women are going to get involved in politics, and also we are going to have a female president soon in Nigeria.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Nigeria isn't the only African country with a presidential election. Senegalese will head to the polls tomorrow Sunday with Macky Sall, the clear favorite for a second term, after the country's economy has rallied under his leadership. The main question is whether Sall will win a majority which would allow him to avoid a runoff election in a month. Sall has been praised for attracting billions of dollars in investment, fostering 6% economic growth last year, the highest rate in Africa, and expanding electrical service. He's campaigning on a promise of new and expanded infrastructure. But he has been criticized for cracking down on dissent, failing to produce enough jobs to ease disenchantment among youth, and not doing enough to help the estimated one-third of the population that the World Bank says is living in extreme poverty. two top would-be candidates, former Dakar Mayor Khalifa Sall and Karim Wad, the son of ex-president Abdoulaye Wad, were sidelined by corruption cases. And battered by protests, Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir has declared a one-year state of emergency, dissolved the central and regional governments, and asked legislators to postpone constitutional amendments that would have allowed him to seek another term. Bashir also called for a national dialogue that would include his opponents and said he understands the sentiment of youths who have been demanding job opportunities. But the crackdown on dissent continued with the arrest of a newspaper editor and seizure of one newspaper entire run. And it was unclear if yesterday's moves would halt protests that began on December 9th when the government tripled bread prices. The demonstrations spread quickly across the country into the biggest challenge of Bashir's three-year decades in power. Dozens have been killed. The protests resumed after Bashir's speech yesterday, and leaders vowed today to continue until Bashir is gone. The Alliance for Freedom and Change said imposing a state of emergency shows the fear within the regime. Bashir's office issued a statement today naming a new prime minister and appointing the current defense minister to a second role as vice president. The country's economy has been floundering, with living costs soaring as inflation runs at 70%. In other African news, police in Algeria's capital fired tear gas to break up crowds protesting against President Abdelaziz Bouteflika's pursuit of a fifth term in office, even though he's 81 and has been limited to a wheelchair since a 2013 stroke. About 40 people were arrested. The U.S. has taken a swipe against corruption in the Democratic Republic of Congo by issuing visa bans on six high-ranking officials, including the president of the National Assembly, the head of the Constitutional Court, and three top members of the National Election Commission. A truck hauling acid crashed into two other vehicles near a major mine in the DR Congo, killing about 20 people. Zimbabwe has started trading under its new currency system in an effort to boost the economy. And reports say an Egyptian court has sentenced two monks to death for the murder of a bishop last July. The sentence will be reviewed by the country's top Muslim religious authority. And finally, the first Arab EU summit is underway in Egypt, and the World Health Organization has changed courses and is now recommending that at-risk mothers be given the anti-Ebola vaccine. This is VOA, and you're listening to Nightline Africa. And coming up in the second half of the program, our Saturday music spot from our collection of music from across the continent. And now it's time for a Saturday music spot. Yes, time to relax and enjoy great music from Africa.
You love me. You be my papa, mama, for you divide by two. Touch me, baby, touch my body. I see you wanna touch my body. Touch me, baby, touch my body. I see you wanna touch my body. Touch me, baby, touch my body. I see you wanna touch my body. How to count the ways I love you, boy. It feels you're kind of killing me. The way you smile is a healing, my boy. The body is stealing. Don't you worry, boy. I belong to you, and you belong to me. Our love is unstoppable, baby. I'll never, never, ever hurt you or ever, ever leave you. But you love me. You be papa, be mama, for you divide by two. Touch me, baby, touch my body. I see you wanna touch my body. Touch me, baby, touch my body. I see you wanna touch my body. Touch me, baby, touch my body. I see you wanna touch my body. Touch me.
Besi, beko, Il paraît les morts forts en lasin. A bon vieux Joda, on le pointu. Ambiance à mes blagues, on le linko. Faut copier, ouais, on le déclare. Les dogo, la forme, ça déroule. So, get away.
I know you're looking at me. You know I'm waiting for you. I know you're looking at me.
Bessie. No five chop one on no vine your way, me na miao
come.
A bunker like them and yare, I saw him a yemi quanane. No five chop one on no vine your way, me na miao come.
Yahweh.
I know you're looking at me, you know I'm waiting for you. I know you're looking at me.
Penthouse.
Can you remember, say, my mewa? No, you this your love, who made me wa?
Girl, I'm feeling you.
Can you remember, say, my mewa?
No, no, no.
No, you this your love, who made me wa?
Yeah. I can talk area. In a bali me city na bahalia. Maybe me pop on a sala ke bayawa. Your features a mega omana na hala. Or na hawa, a samuwa mama. I can get a select when little puka agama. You can live good if you call again pack your qua. Or go to fima, no echo tagging at a qua. Man, I'm gonna watch your qua. Sometimes it's nature. How the boy go day, me will love him, muba pepe. Never loved another like him, give my baby to us. We tell you if I want if I necessary. Come on, I give you a list. And I want you to make a kailua. Yamu your number, yamu your control. Wine can I talk, Kailua. It's my remote, it's in the control.
Can you remember, say, my mewa? No, use this your love, who made me wa?
Girl, I'm feeling you.
Can you remember, say, my mewa? No, no, no. No, use this your love, who made me wa?
Yeah.
Can your body go canana? Can you me for the banana? I'm feeling you, ta ta ta. And real life, say your body go banana, buy it for me banana. I'm feeling you, ta ta ta.
Wow,
and real life.
Yeah, tell me your secret, I won't tell. If you bunu kuna come bell, on a bumunga mafula can make a dumb bell. She ma make a make your hair swell. Mwambu no be sagile call him, hi me no give a call him, screw seven on a phone. And you anyway, me mom change the good tone. You can put my body, my money, and the soul. So give body no be mu. I promise you, baby, I wanna keep out. Iru gamba king wa diru iti alafya. No tene kwa na mungu wa semu na mwona gige vitela ni akanka. Ema na wani kena maka kailua. Nyamu ya namba, nyamu ya control. Wani kena faka kailua. Iti marimu tijine control.
Can you remember say my mewa?
I'm gonna try say mwa.
No use this your love who made me wa.
Girl I'm feeling you.
Can you remember say my mewa? No, no, no. No use this your love who made me wa. Everybody go canana,
everybody go
me for the banana. I'm feeling you, ta ta ta. And real life, say everybody go canana,
buy
it for me banana. I'm feeling you, ta ta ta. And real life, oh.
ladies.
Hey yo, double M.
And Tyra Smiley.
Oh gosh, man.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, let we make a memory. Oh, I can feel it in my heart. Hey, feel it in my soul. And I can feel it when we're apart. Girl, I want you to know when I'm with you.
Mama, you quit.
Saturday Music Spot. I sincerely hope you enjoyed the music. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline Africa team, Shaka Salim, Paul Alexander, Said Hamdun, and Kwame Ofori, we thank you for joining us tonight and join us again tomorrow, Sunday. I'm Douglas Impuga.